Lord, will only a few be saved? As usual, Jesus doesn't answer a question with a simple answer. Jesus answers a question by telling a story. And he tells a story that usually expands the hearing of those who are listening to him. The question that is asked is, who's in and who's out? Jesus isn't interested in that question. He's saying, potentially, all are in, but it's not going to be easy. So you might say that our readings today have a message that is at once challenging, but also encouraging. In both the first reading and in the gospel, we are given an image of the inclusive nature of God's vision and God's kingdom. Isaiah tells us that the Lord says, I am going to gather all nations and tongues. I will choose them and they will be my people. And in the Gospel of Luke, we hear Jesus say that people will come from east and west and from north and south to take their place at the table in God's reign. So on the one hand, an inclusive vision, a kingdom into which all are invited. It's so easy for us as a society, but also at times as a church, to impose our own narrow limits on that broad and generous vision. And far too easily, we deem people unworthy or unacceptable for the kingdom, unfit for membership in God's family. And it can be for all sorts of reasons. Reasons of nationality, of language, of race, of color, of health status, economic status, religious affiliation, sexuality, so many others. The list is endless. As a wise person said to me recently, I'd rather be excluded for who I choose to include than included for who I choose to exclude. Words we could think about. And sadly enough, it has often been so-called organized religion. I've worked for the church long enough to know there's no such thing as organized religion. Including our own churches, which contribute to the notion that somehow we, rather than God, get to determine the qualifications for membership in the kingdom. Could we imagine today being part of a church which is less interested in deciding who's on the right or wrong side of the fence, and which chooses to challenge everyone to embrace this generous vision, to create a space where all who come are invited to awaken to God's deep desire that they are welcome, that they are worthy to be included, and then support them to live their lives in the light of that truth? That's a challenge. We talk about belong, believe, behave. Too often we have external qualifications for behavior when instead we should be fostering that deep sense of belonging and inclusion. In the beautiful phrase of Thomas Merton, how do we help people to recognize that they are already shining like the sun, that they are beloved by God and by us? So that's a beautiful message, this message of inclusivity. But then there's also a flip side to that message in the gospel today, that when we respond to that invitation, we should not be presumptuous. We should not take that gift for granted. We should always treat it as a challenge to root our daily lives and our actions in the gospel teaching of Jesus, in the love of truth and in the truth of love. This is not, as today's gospel tells us, a superficial invitation calling for a superficial response. It's not sufficient to just cry out, Lord, Lord, we were part of your team to enter the kingdom. If we expect Jesus to recognize us as his own, we need to be able to show the fruits of his love in our lives. So what might this narrow door be that Jesus tells us that we have to pass through to experience his saving presence? Perhaps it's a symbolic way of expressing the gospel invitation to leave self-interest behind, to detach ourselves from clinging to the goods of this world and to the opinions and judgments of others, and to make Jesus' commandment of love of God and love of neighbor be the guiding principle of our life. What's ironic in some sense is that the so-called narrow door, the one that asks us to put aside self-interest, and therefore is a bit harder for us naturally, leads onto a world that is far broader and far wider than the world we inhabit when we're only guided by looking out for number one. The door of self-interest may be easier to pass through, but it leads to a world that is restricted and confining in comparison that the world God invites us to in Jesus, which is a world that is generous, inclusive, expansive, built on the foundation of self-giving rather than self-serving. Again, something that we as a society and we as a church still need to grow in. As so much in the gospel, it is easier said than done. To live the gospel faithfully always poses a series of challenges, including the one that is addressed in our second reading today. How do we deal with trials or difficulties in life? How do we interpret them? Is it a sign that God is punishing us, forming us, disciplining us? I have a good friend who worked for many years as a hospital chaplain, primarily with children and their families. And he suggested to me in a conversation recently two lessons that we can learn from today's letter to the Hebrews. I think the first is how easily so many of us slip into the notion that faith in God is some kind of inoculation against pain or a guarantee against suffering. How often are we tempted to ask, why is this happening to me? I haven't done anything wrong. There's so many bad people around. Nothing seems to happen to them. Why is God picking on me? Now, it's sort of a natural response, isn't it? And of course, when people are going through a hard time, especially in my friend's case, you know, the illness of a child, which throws your whole world into chaos, it's not the time then for a lecture on why bad things happen to good people. Rather, what we do at that time is just include them by supporting them in their suffering, not give simple answers to tough questions. But it is true that it's very easy for us to reduce God to some kind of a good luck charm, a medal around our neck, a statue we put in our car to protect us from an accident. It's good to have that statue in the car. You also need to drive carefully. You also need to drive considerate of the needs of others. So yes, those things happen in all of our lives, and we need to learn from those times. And that means no one is exempt from suffering. We all experience what the letter to the Hebrews today calls chastisement, or perhaps a more positive word, discipline. Yes, even those mythical bad people to whom nothing bad ever seems to happen, they do have their share of sorrow also. We all do. Every life has its share of joy and sorrow, of pleasure and suffering. I think the letter to the Hebrews is very realistic in that respect, and it gives us the insight that suffering is not an end in itself. The reality of God and God's love shows us that we are not alone when we suffer, that God can use even difficult or painful events to shape us, to help us to grow, to discipline us, so to speak. What's the old saying? No pain, no gain. It's often used with trainers to encourage you to keep going. You know, you got 2 miles to go in that marathon. You got that stitch in your side. You want to stop. But you know that if you run through it, you'll be able to do it. God's love is the horizon against which we need to place the suffering that inevitably comes our way in life. And in the words of the reading today, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So is suffering something we just rebel against, or do we allow ourselves to be trained, to be led, to be formed by God in it? So that's our invitation today, my friends. Even in our experiences of pain, challenge, or suffering, to find the strength and courage to live in a way that will lead to healing for ourselves and for others. This is the narrow gate through which we are called to enter. So as we seek to negotiate this road, Let us do so in such a way that even when it takes us along a hard path through rough terrain, we will not lose trust in our loving God who is with us and who cares for us. Jesus wants to offer us a share in that depth of life he knows with the Father, that he desires for all of us. And then when we go through the narrow gate, we create communities with wide open doors. Communities where the phrase, all are welcome in this place, is not simply the title of a song in the hymnal, but it is a lived reality for everyone who comes into our doors and all those whose doors we enter. Let us pray that we will become that kind of church. Amen.